RNZ Pacific News. Hello, Gupla Day. Trulo you, I'm Lydia Lewis. The United Nations is seeking more international assistance as it strives to help Papua New Guinea overcome the violence that frequently erupts in the country. The UNDP's resident director in PNG, Nicholas Booth, says since the earthquakes in 2017 in Hala province, the agency has been involved in work there to stop the violence. He says they recognise that before any development can take place, peace building needs to be strengthened. To that end, the UN has been creating networks of mediators in Hala and southern provinces, working very closely with the churches. He says they are now beginning the second phase of this work, but need more help.
We're going around to all of the partners in the area, of course, to Australia and New Zealand, to the Peace Building Fund in New York and others, and saying we need more resources and we need to continue this work for the next 5 years because we need to strengthen our efforts for the next few years if we are really going to be able to turn the corner in addressing this.
A Gurmit descendant in Fiji is calling for a 99-year lease ahead of Gurmit Day commemorations this weekend. Gurmitiers, or indentured labourers, is the name given to the Indians who left India in the middle and late 19th century to serve as labourers in the British colonies, where the majority eventually settled. Lambasa Town Council Special Administrator Paul Jandaram says decades on, the Indo-Fijian population still needs security. In an interview with FijiVillage.com, he says Indo-Fijian farmers are only given 30-year agricultural land leases. The 84-year-old says they need to be given 99-year leases up front. Around 90% of the land is Fiji-owned by the indigenous people. A New Zealand mother says she is struggling to get the funds needed to repatriate her dead son back to Hastings. 15-year-old Draze Kerehoma died in his sleep during a family trip to Rarotonga. Local doctors suspected the cause of death was from blood clots. Mother Mary Kerehoma says the family is panicking and doesn't know how to raise the funds.
We've got family putting in money, little bits here and there, what they can afford to, you know, to help out, but we're nowhere near at all, what, you know, halfway, whatever, you know, what they want.
Ms. Kerehoma says the New Zealand High Commission has not yet reached out to the family, but the local community on Rarotonga has been very supportive. A former Saipan High School band teacher has pleaded guilty to possession of child pornography in a Malaysia court. The man was arrested in Malaysia in February. He has pleaded not guilty to sexual harassment charges and also faces overstaying charges. Last month, the US government filed a superseding indictment in the US District Court for the Northern Mariana Islands against the man after he was arrested in Malaysia. Brigham Young University in Utah has donated a container of medical supplies to the National University of Samoa. The contents were worth around 45,000 tala. It included lab coats, gauze and dressing materials, first aid supplies, pillows, wheelchairs and a walker. The National University of Samoa says the donation was made possible through a Brigham Young University Alzheimer's research project, as well as some generous Good Samaritans in Utah. New Zealand Geographic and the Cawthorn Institute have launched Citizens of the Sea, which aims to map the health and biodiversity of the Pacific at a larger scale than before. This year, on the 2024 Pacific Rally, a six-month voyage across the ocean, the sailors have also been recruited for science. James Frankham from New Zealand Geographic says by using volunteering sailors as citizen scientists and new tools, they are able to separate gathering the data from analysing it. He says that allows them to stretch science into the big unknown of the Pacific, which is a big data gap.
We're trying to fill an enormous data gap, I guess, which is the Pacific, essentially. It's a vast space, sometimes a bit inhospitable as well. And it's made ocean research very difficult because we can see things from satellites, but to understand biodiversity, which is the stuff that is living in the sea, you need to go out there and actually scoop some up.
New Zealand's Foreign Minister Winston Peters will lead a political delegation on a five-stop Pacific tour next week. The delegation will visit Solomon Islands, Papua New Guinea, Vanuatu, New Caledonia and Tuvalu. Mr. Peters says they will be sharing and discussing views on priority issues in each country, including the impacts of climate change, development priorities and challenges to broader stability. Included in the delegation will be Minister for Pacific Peoples Dr. Shane Reti, Climate Change Minister Simon Watts and an opposition spokesperson for Foreign Affairs David Parker. They will leave New Zealand on Sunday. The family of the 33-year-old New Zealand man killed in the shooting on Auckland's Ponsonby Road on Sunday have paid tribute to him. In a social media post, Robert Sidney Horn's family says it's with deep sadness they announce the tragic and sudden passing of a son, brother, moko, uncle and friend to many. They expect the coroner to release his body today and he will then lie at Parawera Marae. The body of the shooter, identified by police as Hone K. Selwyn, was found near Taupo yesterday. Still in Aotearoa, critically endangered short-tailed bats have been recorded in the Wellington region for the first time in more than 7 years. Acoustic monitoring over summer by Pākuratahi River near Upper Hutt recorded the animals in the area. They are the rarest mammals in New Zealand and were feared to be extinct in the Lower North Island. A conservation advisor who specialises in bats, Ben Paris, says he was surprised by the discovery.
Wellington isn't very well known for its bat fauna, so to see short-tailed bats, which are one of the more rare bats, appear in the Wellington region is really exciting.
Regional Council documents say staff will continue to monitor the area to understand the size of the population. In world news, the porn star at the centre of Donald Trump's criminal trial has been giving a detailed account of their alleged sexual encounter 18 years ago. The former president has denied charges of falsifying business records to hide a hush money payment of $130,000 to Stormy Daniels before the 2016 election. BBC's Sarah Smith has more.
This was always going to be the most explosive moment of this extraordinary trial. Wearing a modest long black dress and glasses, Stormy Daniels described meeting Mr. Trump at a golf tournament in 2006. She said a bodyguard invited her to have dinner with Mr. Trump and that when she got to his hotel suite, she made fun of him for wearing black silk pyjamas. When she was asked about having sex with Mr. Trump, she was frequently interrupted by objections from his lawyers. Her testimony was so prejudicial, they argued, the judge should declare a mistrial. He agreed. Some things probably would have been better left unsaid, but the case continues.
In sport, New Zealand Rugby has confirmed it intends to push ahead with a proposal to overhaul the governance structure of the game. It wants to fully implement the recommendations of a governance review published last year, which suggested the current structure was not fit for purpose. The proposal would establish a board of 9 independent members selected by an independent appointments panel. The proposal will go before a special general meeting at the end of the month and must be approved by 75% majority. And that's the latest news and sport for RNZ Pacific. You can read more on our website, rnzi.com.